we talk to them about self-efficacy, and we talk to them about listening and optimism and trust and honor and the reason why these things are important. And we also see the students too, like holding each other socially accountable.
There you go. Yeah.
But not doing it in a rude or bullying manner, you know, or if they do, then we address that, you know, that it's like, I understand where you're coming from when you say this, but however, here's how we should package that message.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today, I have two. Isn't that great? I have Corrine Kreiser. She is the assistant principal, and Erica Walsh. She is the principal at the high school at Greenspire, which is a charter school in Traverse City, Michigan. Corrine and Erica, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
I'm so glad that you guys could make it today. Tell us a little bit. I'm gonna give you guys turns, okay, so we know who's talking. So Corrine, tell us a little bit about your role, and then we'll go to Erica, okay?
Sure. So I'm the assistant principal at Greenspire High School. My kind of general role, I guess, that's written down on paper is, you know, all the basic things that most assistant principals do, right? Test coordination, discipline, all those, you know, writing policy. But I think my role, kind of the bigger part of my role, is social emotional learning support of
nice.
Our students.
It's a big one right now. It's a big one.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Erica, tell us about you.
So I am the principal of Greenspire High School, which is a high school that is finishing its fourth year now. And I am the founding principal of the program. So my role has changed quite a bit through the 4 years. So
congratulations.
A lot of the beginning was writing all of the policy, creating the culture and climate, student enrollment, hiring, and we've now created that climate. So now it's about sustainment, and it's about continual improvement on those pieces. You know, keeping good staff retention, you know, all of the things in leadership.
Right. Yeah. That's a big one. You know, the longer that people stay, the more, the easier it is, right? For sure.
It is. I mean, it's my philosophy that good teachers are, you know, you are only as good as your worst teacher in the building. Mm-hmm. So in order to retain, you know, attract and retain good teachers, it takes a different kind of mindset. I'm a servant leader. I serve them so they can be their best.
100%.
I believe that they are worth more to me than any purchased curriculum whatsoever. Any piece of technology, any, you know, latest and greatest trend or fad in education, it will not supersede a teacher and their value.
Yeah. For sure. So tell me a little bit more. We talked a little bit before we went on about your school's model and how that, how you give that back to the students with and guide your teachers through that process.
I'll let Erica start and then I'll jump in.
So our school has a few pillars. We're environmentally centered. We are a project-based learning school, and we are a small school model. These are very intentional pillars for our school because we truly believe that this is the way that teens should be educated. There is no reason why recess should stop when they go to middle school. There's no reason why we need to be, you know, reading a textbook and taking a boring test at the end of the unit. We do projects instead. We start with an essential question. Each group explores the question in their own unique way, and they make a final public presentation. That goes far beyond a poster board or a Google Slides presentation. And we also believe in the small school model, which allows us to be very close with our students and really be proponents of social emotional learning at each student's level, which is one of Corrine's expertise.
Yeah. So, you know, like Erica was talking about, you know, being servant leaders for our staff. And then, you know, we also believe in extending that to our students, you know, kind of trying to meet each student where they are. If a student is, we have a universal break plan that extends through the whole school. So if a student is having a rough day, and they need to take a 5-10 minute break in one of the common areas, then that's something they're allowed to do, you know, and that also helps them work on their communication skills, right? Because they have to communicate that with us. And, you know, getting
and identify,
to know every...
identify those feelings. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but to identify those feelings, to know that what I'm feeling and how stressed I am is something that I can address and can recognize. So awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, part, you know, so all of our pillars kind of tie into this idea too of social emotional learning with being a small school, right? We know every kid. We can walk down the hall and name every student and tell you three things about that kid.
Nice.
And because we know them and the teachers know them and we have those relationships, you know, I'm amazed at the things the students bring to us in the main office, because we only have one school counselor. So they'll come to us in the main office just for life advice, or to talk to us. They're having a bad day, and we'll stop what we're doing and help them through that, because that's just as important as learning the standards, you
right.
know, you know, really teaching them how to be functional humans who are emotionally intelligent, and, you know, also being environmentally based, you know, the benefits of being out in nature for your mental health. Even though we're a technology forward school, we have MacBooks and we have the Adobe Creative Cloud, but also teaching them how to be responsible with that technology and not be overly dependent on it, and still, you know, take time for their mental health and to connect with nature and, you know, kind of all of those more human things.
And that's a balancing act that you have to play too.
Yeah, know? Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you're disciplining, because we really like to look at discipline as teachable moments, mm-hmm. not, you know, you're bad. Here's what you did wrong. Here's your punishment. But, you know, really talk them through the process of, you know, why maybe this happened and what they could do different next time, and having mediations between groups of students that were involved. You know, and honestly, like the mediations, I think a lot of times, you know, kids are terrified to go into a mediation with a group of their peers where there's been a conflict and say how it made them feel. But then, you know, over time, it's going to make them more open and make them better communicators, and also make them more aware of their own, you know, emotional state.
And there's, you know, a level of trust that you guys are fostering with these kids. It's to have someone come to you in your office, as you were saying before, and talk about issues. That's a high level of trust that I kudos to you guys. That's fantastic.
Trust is one of our core values at Greenspire.
Of course, right, Erica?
And,
yeah.
What's interesting about trust with teens is it's not easy to establish, as you know, as you're getting at. Mm-hmm. So, in order for us to be trusted, we have to give trust.
Right.
So we attempt at Greenspire when they enter in the ninth grade to give them trust until they show us we can't. Mm-hmm. And then we use those moments to once again teach about the core value of trust. A couple of those ways that we do this are, we advocate for students not to put locks on lockers. And in that, we say we're a trusting community. We trust that we are there for each other. And if we need something, we will ask for it. We don't need to steal from each other. So 98% of the students do not have locks on their lockers. So that's one piece. Or we have, you know, a few of the things that Corrine mentioned. Then we also have a policy where students can request work time in one of our student common areas during class. So let's say it's a group of four, they want to work outside of class in the diner or in the conservatory, they can do that. And they just need a little pass with them on the table, and we walk by and they get this. And it's a privilege when we trust you. If we don't trust you, you don't have that privilege. So those are just two examples of ways that we kind of non-verbally show them that this is a mutual, you know, endeavor. Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, do you see that spilling over into the relationship between the students as well? That, because I imagine, you know, it's like if they break that trust with mm-hmm. each other, I mean, when you're fostering something like that, I would think that that would definitely spill over into the interactions they have with each other.
For sure. I mean, that's what fostering school culture is all about. Yeah. You model it, your staff models it, and then the kids start to do it. And then it just becomes a part of the thread of the school. So we worked really hard our first year with 63 students to actually, Corrine established all of our core values. And then we worked really hard to say, okay, what does this look like? How do we thread this into the everyday fabric of Greenspire?
Yeah, awesome. We use those when we, you know, when we're disciplining kids, you know, so they, you know, we talk to them about self-efficacy, and we talk to them about listening and optimism and trust and honor and, you know, the reason why these things are important. And we also see the students, too, like holding each other socially accountable.
There you go. Yeah,
but not doing it in a rude or bullying manner, you know, or if they do, then we address that, you know, that it's like, I understand where you're coming from when you say this, but however, you know, here's how we should package that message. And, you know, I'm amazed at, you know, the number of students who come to us, and sometimes, you know, and a lot of times it's because they're concerned about one of their peers. They see something going on with drug use or different things, and they're genuinely concerned about that person. Mm-hmm. And they come to us, you know, with that.
And that's fantastic. That's really fantastic. Okay, so I want to switch just a little bit. You talked about the project-based learning and environmental outside learning. How are you guys fostering that? I know you touched on it a little bit, Erica, but I'd like to dive just a little bit deeper in those two topics, if you don't mind. Just give an idea to our listeners how you're making that happen.
Sure. We do it a number of ways, and it's been you know, it's been a learning curve for sure. How do we do this and still honor the Michigan Merit curriculum?
Right.
How do we do this and still graduate students with the skills that are traditionally, you know, taught to students? So we have implemented several different courses within our curriculum for students to take that are environmentally centered. So we have an environmental science class. We have history of environmental ethics. We have outdoor physical education. So we're able to tweak all of these classes with an environmental component within their regular school day. Additionally, we have a program we call Field Fridays, where students select. So for every half day, basically, students select one of eight choices where they go out into the community. Several of those choices have to do with environmental stewardship. So they're able to go, you know, for example, last Friday, several students went to Medalli Park, a park near our school, and they planted a garden alongside master gardeners from our county. And that was a choice that they made. And then every once a month, they do that particular Field Friday. So these are just small ways that we've integrated. Outdoor physical education, you know, normally ninth graders take their gym class and they're running around laps, things like that. Ours, that we take attendance, we take them outside. So currently, like today, for example, our students had the option of doing archery or gardening. And we had two teachers in there, and the kids swapped. So they did archery first, gardening second, and then swapped.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we try to incorporate all of these outdoor components. We also have a kayaking section of the unit, and we have kayaks, and we're on a lake, and we do, you know, so, and we even offer archery during lunchtime, so students can go outside and do archery at lunch.
And not to mention too that, so the park that Erica was mentioning, the Medalli Park project, where the students were down there planting a water garden. Our students had actually designed that garden in conjunction with Grand Traverse County Parks and the Land Conservancy. And then they went to, did they go to a city council board meeting? Is that what they went to? Mm-hmm. And then they presented their different design ideas. And then that's the design that's going into this water garden at a local park.
So it really integrates them into the community and gives them a sense of pride for their community, for what they've created, which is fabulous.
I mean,
you guys are not just teaching them environmental, but stewardship and citizen and, you know, Nice. Very, very nicely done. Yeah.
And eventually what happens is that the kids just kind of take on, once again, this culture of who we are. And then they come up with ideas and bring those ideas to us.
Mm.
For example, our seniors this year, one of their legacy projects is a beehive. And so they've now received approval from our local college. We're housed within a community college. And they're putting up a beehive as their class of 2025 legacy project. So it's, and they came to us with that. So
neat. That's really, really neat. That's fantastic. Awesome. Okay. So last question, and it's one that I ask all of my guests. Just a thought question. If you could miraculously solve one challenge in your school and not money, because we all know we could use more money, right? Everybody could use more money. But if you could miraculously solve one challenge in your school, what would you want to solve?
I know mine.
Okay, go ahead, Erica.
You can go first. I'm trying to pick.
I would change the way that like American society at large views and treats teachers.
That's a good
one. It's very detrimental to our field.
Yeah.
And, you know, because this thought process, you know, it's behind everything, right? So their salaries, the way parents treat them, the way students treat them. Mm-hmm. And they really are angelic people. And I just, yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really, really good one. And it's part of the reason that Brighter Together exists. Like, where do we want to, I love that, because it's about bringing leaders and educators to the forefront in our own little world. How can we make it clear to the world that educators matter and that this is a big deal? You guys are doing amazing things. Every single one of those students is touched by your passion and your desire and your leadership to make the world a better place because of the kids and because of what you're doing. So kudos to you both. So Corinne, I'll give you a second to answer now as well.
Before you said money, we couldn't say money. I was going to say better pay for teachers.
It's the main one. Everybody knows there's not enough money in education. There just isn't. So
I
kind of take that one off the table.
Yeah, that's a tricky question because, you know, my answer would be very similar to Erica's, you know, about just teachers, you know, like one of the reasons we don't give a teacher a canned curriculum to teach from is because we trust them as the experts in their field, right? Like, you know, our environmental science teacher has a PhD in geology, and our physics and chemistry and biology teacher who teaches, you know, those classes, he has a master's in physics. And our Spanish teacher lived in Mexico for 20 years. It's like, you know, so for us to hand them a canned curriculum, you know, so yeah, just that trust of that this person is an expert. You know, they didn't just get an education degree that taught them how to teach. They also have a degree that teaches them the content, right?
And I think too that goes back to what you were saying about, you know, teaching to the student. That's something we talked about and we didn't touch on it. I'd like to like go back to that for just a minute because I know that's an important piece of it, is educating each student. So can you guys just before we sign off, I want to make sure that we touch on that, because I think that, you know, I'm in special education and individualized education plan, IEPs, that's what it is. But you guys are like doing that across the entire school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we try to really emphasize that, you know, just because a student doesn't have an IEP or a 504 doesn't mean that they don't need different kinds of supports, right? So like when I was in the classroom, I was originally a digital art teacher, which, you know, art, right, can just be very visual. But, you know, I would provide students, you know, readings, a reading version, a video version, I would demo, you know, I would do that differentiation regardless, you know, and just providing that and, you know, and having our hall passes where if a student needs a quieter area to work, they can get a hall pass from the teacher and go sit in the diner and, you know, focus or, you know, having a lot of group projects. So just having that differentiation kind of baked into what we do every day, I think it really makes the kids feel a lot, you know, a lot more like it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're not getting something special or different. Like we changed the name a few years ago of our special education department to inclusive education is how we refer to it. Mm-hmm. But we really just try to be inclusive with everybody. And it's not about being special or different. It's just about meeting people where they are.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really great. I love that. Okay. Well, Corrine and Erica, it's gone so fast, but I appreciate you guys so much. What a great conversation. Where should people go if they want to learn more about what you guys are doing at Greenspire High School?
Greenspireschool.org.
Yeah, greenspireschool.org. Come visit us. We love to give tours and show off our school.
Fantastic.
We want everyone to be doing what we're doing, especially with the AI problems. Like what we're doing is, it's phenomenal.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, once again, thank you so much. And thank you for being on Brighter Together, because we really are brighter together.
Absolutely.
That's right.